Chapter 16. Location? Still at Junior's house. Nimbus was realizing how difficult it was to help someone with a disability, especially one like Junior's. He decided that the best thing for him to do was just observe what Junior had to go through on a daily basis. Then maybe he could figure out his purpose in the mission and do something constructive. Just getting out of bed in the morning was a problem for Junior, and getting to the bathroom was an even bigger challenge. From the beginning, Junior's wife did her best to help him as his disease progressed, but with her dominant nature, for good reason, and Junior's frustration and anger, for good reason, the two were sparring more and more, and Marissa was needing a break. Since she needed a flexible schedule and they needed extra money, she decided to become a real estate agent. Nimbus noticed that her job was becoming more time-consuming, but she juggled both like a pro, tending to Junior's needs at the same time refilling her well of strength. Brent was an only child and was frustrated and angry too, but for different reasons. He was 11 when he found out about his dad's disease. It really didn't affect him until Junior started using crutches and falling down. It was then that Brent realized the seriousness of what was happening to his family. Also, he was the only one strong enough to pick up his 6-foot, 240-pound father off the floor and stand him back on his stiff legs that no longer bent on their own. In fact, it wasn't long before Junior was dragging himself around on crutches everywhere, refusing to go to the wheelchair. He was just coming to terms with the seriousness of his MS. As Brent got older, his responsibilities grew. It was hard enough being a teenager without that extra embarrassment, guilt, and demands on his time. He turned to drinking to ease the situation. He did poorly in school, got into trouble with the law, and rebelled with all of his might. But it didn't last long. Brent was a good boy, and as he approached his 20s, he realized that he was adding to the problem, and it wasn't going to go away anytime soon. Things got better when Brent got a job at Auto World. His father had taught him all about cars and how to repair them. It was the hobby of his dad's and now the vocation for Brent. However, as time went by, he and his father stopped working together, and Brent spent nights and weekends building an apartment over the detached garage. Having his own space gave him a chance to recover from his obligations. Junior was happy having Nimbus as a companion as long as he stayed out of sight. Nimbus reassured him that he could spread out as thin as wedding veil netting and drift high above his head. The high ceilings helped him stay as invisible as possible. Even Penny didn't notice him. Nimbus decided to just be there as a friend and absorb the information about their family dynamics at the same time. That would help him help Junior, even though the man was pretty set in his ways. Marissa picked up the wet towels off the floor from washing Penny the night before and tossed them into the dirty clothes basket on the bedroom chair. "I'll fix you some breakfast before I leave for work, Jay." She refused to call him Junior, not only because she despised Junior's father, who was referred to as Senior, but she thought the name was demeaning and childish.
"Oh, that would be nice of you, honey," Junior chirped from his bed.
He seemed to be in a pretty good mood lately and wanted to do his own thing in the morning without help. As he used the bar on the far side of his bed and a tightrope that was tied around his mattress, he swiveled himself around so he could plop himself into his manual wheelchair. The rope was his idea and kept him from rolling off in the wrong direction. He then would roll into the oversized bathroom made especially for him. Of course, Penny followed him everywhere, even into the bathroom. The morning ritual for Junior was to use the toilet, which took him 10 minutes or longer, wipe his face and neck with a wet washcloth, 3 minutes or longer, brush his diminishing teeth, 2 minutes or less, and comb through his thinning white hair, 30 seconds. His hands didn't seem to grip things tightly anymore, and some mornings teeth brushing time was shortened when the narrow toothbrush would fly out of his hand and end up somewhere on the bathroom floor, out of reach, under a cabinet or behind the toilet. Penny was supposed to retrieve it, but since she loved the sweet toothpaste, she chewed the bristles into uselessness. Junior could smell the bacon frying and hurried to fix his hair. Luckily, his cowlick wasn't as stubborn and didn't need a wet washcloth to plaster it down. He locked down his manual wheelchair and grabbed the arms of his electric throne and pulled himself in and up into a sitting position. He unplugged the recharger and left the bathroom. As he rounded the corner from the hall, he was careful not to clip the drywall already dented and punctured from his previous trips. He rolled up to the table with Nimbus and Penny in their rightful places, Nimbus thin at the ceiling and Penny at his side. Junior had tried to eat the special MS diet of no fats, caffeine, alcohol, or anything else he liked. But he soon found out that life was unbearable without Cokes and coffee, fast foods, and bacon and eggs. All he agreed to give up was alcohol, since he didn't like it anyway. Marissa no longer tried to get Junior to eat right, but still nagged and warned him as she fixed what she called the poison diet. The rest of their morning conversations went downhill from there. Marissa would tell Junior what he was going to do that day, and Junior would complain about her not being there to help him do what she wanted him to do. Then the dishwasher would be loaded with crashing and banging, and loud words hurled until Junior either rolled himself back into his bedroom or escaped outside. Most mornings started that way, and this morning was no different. "You're in a good mood," Marissa stated, dumping 3 overcooked rubbery eggs on a plate with crispy bacon and buttered rye toast. "Your pills are next to the salt and pepper," she added.
"Today I'm taking delivery on the Camaro I told you about," Junior chirped. "The guy said I could have it for $1,500, and he'll deliver it for free."
"What? No! You're not going to get another crappy piece of metal that we can't afford and that will sit in the driveway growing rust on its rust." Marissa had more starter fluid in her voice than usual. She shoved the frying pan into the sudsy sink water with a splash. For as long as Junior could remember, he loved cars and had taken on the hobby of collecting junk cars when he could still walk. They weren't junk to him. It didn't matter the make, size, color, or age, although the 1960 Robin's Egg Blue Chevy Impala was his favorite. He had a collection of about 10 vehicles all lined up in the backyard on his 5 acres, just outside of the city limits. Most of them had an ailment of one kind or another, and few ran at all. Some were just purchased for one particular part to be used on another vehicle already stored there. But he would reassure his wife that when he got them all fixed up, he would get twice what he paid for them without a doubt. Marissa shook her head and replied, "Why don't you collect stray dogs or cats instead? It sure would be cheaper."
"But you always wanted a hot Camaro, and this one is a beaut. All it needs are a few doors. It runs great," Junior said, stuffing 2 of the 3 eggs into his mouth.
"Doors? You bought a car without doors?"
"Well, not exactly," he chewed and swallowed. "There is a row of bullet holes down the driver's side. I just have to replace it on just that one side."
"That's all.
Don't worry. I'll find one at the junkyard."
Junior smiled at her over his cup of coffee.
"It's a real good deal."
"What about that good deal broken-down pickup truck that you pulled the bed off of 2 weeks ago? That rusty old box is still lying in the front of my garage door," Marissa snapped, glaring at Junior.
Junior had acquired a 1967 Chevy pickup truck from a friend of a friend who needed money. The back of the rusty bed of the truck had been rear-ended, but Junior had a replacement truck bed from one of his other acquisitions that was without an engine.
All he had to do was exchange one truck bed for another. That seemed simple enough. That is, until Lance Larrabee got involved. Lance was a skinny little guy that just showed up out of nowhere one day with the intention of making enough money to go back to Canada. The day he sold his sob story to Junior was the day he was hired on the spot, both thinking their prayers had been answered. Lance would help Junior do the things he no longer could do for himself in exchange for a place to live, and maybe make money at the flea market with some of Junior's inventory. Since Lance needed a place to stay, he was in. However, after Marissa found out that he had moved into the broken